Your love is like radiant diamond bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us, blazing wildfires, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies, and these hallelujahs be multiplied.
Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us, like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, surrender to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, and these hallelujahs be multiplied. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, these hallelujah be multiplied.
Your love is like radiant diamonds
bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely confine us, like blazing wildfire, singing your name.
All right.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, Spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, should die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my honor to honor you in all I do, to honor you.
I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned.
He should die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King.
Amazing love, how can it be? My King should die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true.
It's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you in all I do.
Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we'll pray that all unity may one day be restored. They'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. They'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come. And all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Greg, if you're watching, he's the one that usually sings the really low stuff. This is for Pastor Larry. This was his song choice.
So if you like it, blame him. If you don't like it, blame him.
One, two, three, four.
Another man sing, or change your hope to a little white dove. More than a feeling, that's the power of love. A tougher than diamond, stronger than steel, stronger, purer than you ever feel. Make a one man would, make a one wrong right. The power of love lets you sleep at night. You don't need money. Don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride this train. It's strong and it's sudden and it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of love. That's the power of love. The first time you feel it, it might make you sad. The next time you feel it, it might make you mad. But you'll be glad when you're found. That's the power that makes the world go round. You don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride this train. It's strong and it's sudden and it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life.
They say that all in love is fair.
Yeah, but you don't care.
But you know what to do when God gets hold of you. And with a lot of
hell from above, you feel the power of love. You feel the power of love. Can you feel it? You don't need money. Don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride this train. It's tougher than diamonds and stronger than steel. You won't feel nothing till you feel. You feel the power, just the power of love. That's 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 the power of love.
All right.
Let's go.
You got something, or I mean, we can do one more and then be done with us.
So happy.
Yeah, and then we can. We'll be done with our glorified practice.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the God I love and hold him tight, so happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and say that you belong to me, and ease my mind, imagine how the world could be so very fine, so happy together. I can't see me loving nobody but you for all my Jesus, the skies will be blue for all my life. Me and you, and you and me, no matter how they toss the dice, it had to be, the only one for me is you, and
you for me, so happy together. I can't see me loving nobody but you for all my life. When you're with me, Jesus, the skies will be blue for all my life. Toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me, so happy together. Ba 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 ba. Me and you, and you and me, no matter how they toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me, so happy together, so happy together, so happy together, so happy together, we're happy together, so happy together, so happy together. So happy together, so happy together.
If it wasn't obvious, the theme for Sunday's love. So, we will have an opportunity to listen to people tell us whether they like or do not like my special, for my request special of the power of love. But well, I do too. So you're all that's important. I was talking a little bit earlier about the Holy Spirit and about the 8th chapter of Romans, and I just want to kind of read through some of this stuff that's in here, but it's interesting the way he starts out Romans chapter 8. The first verse he says, "And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So for the Christian, he's saying there is no condemnation. There's nothing that would separate you from the love of God. And then you go over to the very last verse and you look at verse 39, because he's talking about no condemnation there. And then we look at verse 39, or I'll read 38. He says, "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." And I mentioned Sunday when we were talking a little bit about the book of Romans, and when Paul wrote this, and some people have labeled it a deep doctrinal book and a lot of depth and a lot of doctrine, a lot of theology in it. And the very last verse that he writes in here, he says, "Now to him to be able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began." But he ends it by saying, "But now made manifest and by prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience of faith. To God alone, wise be glory through Jesus Christ." He talks about the whole theological concept in the book of Romans, and then he gets down to there, you know, to where he says that it's made known to him who is able to establish that gospel according to us. And so I think that's interesting. And he goes on in verse 2, he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And when we look at that, we look at that and we think, well, in the Old Testament there were 630 laws, I think, 630 some laws that they had to keep, in as far as Jewish tradition was concerned, and yet no one could keep 636 laws. So that's why they had the sacrifices of animals, the shedding of blood to atone for the sin of man in the Old Testament. So what he's saying here is that without a relationship with Jesus Christ, we cannot keep the law. Because the law, and he goes on to say that the law has passed away and now we live under grace. In verse 3 he says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin." He condemned sin in the flesh. And so what I think what he's trying to tell us here is the only true person, the only one entity, the only one individual that could free us from the guilt of sin was Jesus coming. And then as he left, he gave us the Holy Spirit to give us strength as we go. And so I was doing some reading today, and I saw some quotes, and I thought they were kind of interesting things. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, "Some people are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good." Some people, I think, and we may have run into some of those that have no time for no one. Yeah, and they're so concentrated and so dead set on what they believe and what they think that they have no time to listen to someone else. But then the author said, however, C.S. Lewis observed, "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next." And so that individual who is doing all he can and being spiritually minded in this life and in this earth is the one that's interested in maintaining his spiritual life in order to enter into the next or enter into heaven. But he also, when he says here, for those who thought did the most for the present world, for those people that are in the world, that the most they could do is to share the grace of Jesus Christ and not be wrapped up in the law, but to share that good news. And there's another quote here, and it was Thomas A. Kempis, and he's an old, I don't know, when he was alive, probably in triple digits back in the 800s or 900s, I don't remember, but he said in a book he wrote, The Imitation of Christ, he said, "Set aside the things of time and seek those of eternity." What he's saying is that there's not what we do on this earth is important, but it's not everything. Eternity is so much more important. And so that's what I think Paul is trying to communicate to us in this passage, is to set our minds on something more than just the mundane day-to-day activities that a lot of people do. And I've said this before, that it's funny because people come off a vacation, get off a vacation, and they dread going back to work. Or there's something that drags them down, and there's no joy, there's no excitement. And I think when we look at this idea of setting our minds, which really becomes a verb when it's, because that term set, or to set, is an action thing. The verb is an action there, that we have to make a decision to do it. So what we're doing is taking a look at what's our thoughts are. And how am I going to set my thoughts in motion as far as how Jesus would have me live and what Jesus would have me to do. Paul goes on and talks about the same thing is true with our affection. The same thing is true with the desires of our heart, the desires of our life. What's really important in this whole thing called life? And what is life all about? And I, as a kid, I used to, you know, think, well, how would the world go on without me? You ever have that thought? You figure, you know, what's gonna happen? Is it gonna come? Is it gonna come to an end because I'm gone? And then you realize, no, it's just gonna keep going. You know, you're not that important, you know, as far as the whole world is concerned. But there is an importance there that comes because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the reality becomes that our mindset becomes one of spiritual connection and spiritual condition with Jesus, that we connect with him and that we follow the way and we follow the outline of the life and the way that he's given us to live. And so Paul talks in here, and he uses that term flesh a lot. And when he talks about flesh, he's not talking about our material bodies. He's talking about more the desires of our heart, the part of humanity that has fallen as a result of the sin of Adam, and why the world is just not a rosy place to be. It's not and I don't mean to say that it's not something that's that we wouldn't enjoy and not something that we do enjoy. But I've often thought, if this is all there is, with the sickness and the disease and the hatred and the strife and the war and the greed and the poverty and all those things that goes on, if that's all there is, and I'm living this life and I, you know, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever God gives me, and then I end up in someone used the term today, in a box somewhere in the ground, is that all there is? And I think the answer to that question is absolutely not. There is far more to this life, and that is getting us prepared for the next life. And so I think we have to look at what our mindset is. Paul says in Romans 7, verses 7 and 8, he says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh are those who are living for the desires of this world cannot please God." But we have to be heaven-minded. We have to have our mind set on something better than this. And also, and I thought this was interesting, and I can't prove it, but in John, the word that John uses, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And I believe that people are rewarded for what they do on earth. And so, will some people have a mansion? Will some have a mud hut? I don't know. You know, but I believe that, you know, that because he's talked about giving crowns in the book of Revelation. So when we look at that, and I don't know if there's, and I can't support it in any, you know, with anything, but when he says that, I've just often wondered, will some people have a mansion? And will some have something less than that? With what did they do with the ability that they were given? Did they waste it away? What of a looking at a person that lives their life at 70, 80 years, it's a Christian, has shared the gospel, has shown a lot of people the plan of salvation, and then you've got the person that dies on their deathbed, and you know, and is a Christian and goes to heaven. I don't question that at all. A person that finds salvation at any point in their life, they go to heaven. But how does that work? How does that whole idea of rewards look? And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, we look at the 8th chapter, I think it helps us to determine what's our spiritual mindset. What is my plan that God would have me to do to fulfill what his plan is on this earth? And what does he want me to do to fulfill that plan, you know, that great master plan that he has? And so what's my responsibility? What am I called to do here? And I think as we look at Romans, and we see here that, number one, it becomes to no longer live by the desires of this world, but it's to live under the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. The second thing I think he's talking about here is he's telling us that we need to set our mind on Him. We need to let the Holy Spirit direct us and guide us. And so there were three things that I saw as I was reading this today, and I thought they were kind of interesting. The first one was said, fill your mind with the Spirit's words. And as I was looking at it, there's a reference in 2 Timothy 3:16 that Paul's writing to Timothy. He's talking to Timothy, and Timothy's a much younger minister. And he's telling him, he says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Everything that is here is the Word of God that has been given breath, that's been given life. And so he said, rather than having our human nature outside of Christ, let Christ breathe into us. Let Him breathe that Word into us. Let Him breathe that Scripture into us, that we realize that we're no longer living in the flesh, but we are living in the Spirit. And so the whole idea here, I think what he's saying is to live in the Spirit, to let the Spirit guide us. And we've talked over the last two or three weeks about the Holy Spirit. First week was who is the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about joy and the Holy Spirit giving us joy. Big difference between joy and happiness. You can be happy over a joke, but it's hard sometimes to have joy in the midst of despair, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of sickness, illness, something in our lives. Sometimes that's difficult to have joy. But if we live this earth, on this earth, for the next earth, or next heaven and the next earth, because he said this earth and this heaven is going to be passed away, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And so if we live for that newness that's coming, that's going to be coming, then I think we will realize that we don't contrast the difference between the physical and the spiritual, but we understand that everything that we do is done spiritually, that our spirit should guide our mind, our spirit should guide our body. People get in trouble when they let their mind direct what they're going to do, because that's when they get in trouble. And that's when we make bad decisions. A lot of marriages are broken up over that exact same thing, that someone has looked better to someone else, or someone, you know, something may have enticed to someone else. I think we can attribute a lot of that today to pornography, a lot of things that we see going on in the world today. It makes it easy for people to follow the easy path and not dig your heels in and say no. And so we begin to look at what's physical, what attracts us, what seems easy. The material things of the world become more important. The visible things that we see become more important than the invisible, the things that we can't see. We don't see the Holy Spirit, but we see the results of what He does. But we don't see Him, and so a lot of times we look for signs, and people look for things that will influence them that are totally contrary to what God expects for us. So I think when we see that battle going on, and I think that's what Paul is saying here in Romans, is he's talking about the rebellion and the rebellion against God, on the one hand being the things of the flesh or the things of this world that are drawing us that away, and then the battle that goes on with the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, who is trying to get us to follow His Spirit. And I believe that if people lived by the Spirit and if they followed the Spirit, then a lot of things that they feel that they need physically, and maybe they need emotionally, maybe they need in relationship-wise, would come about far more easier if we were Spirit-led as a result of being Spirit-filled rather than having and going after desires of our own heart. there's some verses that I think are important. And how do we do this? And how do we get this to work? Psalm 119:36 says, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to getting gain." Psalm 119:36. What he's saying here is incline your heart to the testimony of Old Testament prophets, to the testimony of Paul, to the testimony of the disciples that followed Jesus, people we can read about. Incline ourselves to that and to what they're showing us and what they're telling us, rather than trying to get ahead. The second is Psalm 119, verse 18. He said, "Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your law." And we referenced this scripture a couple weeks ago when we talked about it. He's not saying, "Open my eyes that I might understand your law," or "Open my eyes that I might read it," but "Open my eyes that I can get a hold of it, that I can grab the things that are there that are going to give me the testimony of something far better to come." Psalm 86:11 says, "Unite my heart that I might fear your name." Unite me with you, that, you know, that I've got that relationship, that I can talk to you, you can talk to me. And a lot of people to talk about, well, how does God speak to you? Does he speak to you in an audible voice? And I've heard people say yes. He speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us through circumstances, things that happen. He speaks to us through other people. He speaks to us through sermons, through messages, through the church. A lot of different ways, but I think people are sitting around waiting for that audible voice. And for some, it may never come. I will, you know, tell you that I've just felt like there's just been a gentle tugging or drawing to do things. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that God's, you know, sat in heaven and said, "Larry, do this," because it hasn't happened. But there's been direction and guidance given and things shown to me of things that I should do. And then the fourth verse, and it says, "Satisfy me in the morning with your steadfast love, that I might rejoice and be glad in you all of my days." Each morning when our feet hit the floor, we ought to say, "Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity." Whatever that opportunity might be, whoever he's going to bring in your path, what is that opportunity? I had lunch this week, a couple different days with a couple different guys, and had just a great time of talking, a great time of fellowship with them, and got to know them, you know, so much better than what I did. And one of the things that I thought about when I was looking at that verse is, "Be glad in you all of my days." If he brought those people into my life to give me an opportunity to learn from them, and hopefully give them an opportunity to learn something from me, but I learned a lot just talking to those two guys this week. So there's some verses, some prayers there that I think we might want to keep in mind, because the thing about it is God wants to bless us. He wants to do things for us. But we've also got to have our hearts open to receive. And so many times, so many people ask him for something and never believe it could happen to them. Sure, it can happen to someone else, but can it happen to me? And that's the test of faith, is not what he can do for someone else if I have the issue, but it's that grain of mustard seed faith that we all have. Can I take that and let that grow? And then I think the third thing that he's saying is, practice the presence of the Holy Spirit every day. There was a guy by the name of Brother Lawrence. He was a monk, and a humble guy. And I was reading, and someone said he learned to enjoy God's presence every day. He wrote about it in a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And I think it's important for us that we cultivate a spiritual mindset, that we cultivate in our minds that relationship, that opportunity, that sharing time with God. He wants us to realize how important He is and what He wants out of our lives. And so as we look at this eighth chapter of Romans and we look at what He's saying here to us, He says, and just in closing, He said, in verse 9, He says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, he's not His. So, any person who is a Christian has the Holy Spirit in their lives. Any person that is a Christian has the benefits of what the Holy Spirit gives to us. Is love and patience and peace and comfort, all those things that Paul wrote about in Ephesians about the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, that's a tough one. Patience is a tough one for me. But that's the fruit of the Spirit. And he's saying here that if you have that in you, then you have the Spirit of Christ. And we talk a lot about, and I have people that, you know, that are not happy and looking for joy and looking for some type of, wanting joy, wanting God to give them joy. And for the Christian, they already have it. They just need to seek it. They need to, you know, to look in and find it. And it might be a situation that there's been something come up, something happened in their lives that they've lost that fellowship, that relationship, that they're missing the joy. But we have those things. You know, we have love. We have all those things as a result of the Spirit. As long as we live and believe that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we give You thanks that He leads us and guides us. Father, help us to look at situations that come about in our lives of what Your Word says or what wise Christian counsel gives us or maybe what the Word through a song can give us. Maybe what a message, what something said in a message might spark an answer to a prayer that someone has been seeking and been waiting for that audible voice. And then, Lord, help us to act on what we hear. And help us to act on how You direct us and guide us. Get us, Lord, as a nation of believers, as a nation of Christ followers, to get away from our complacency and move into action. Move into that deeper walk that brings about deeper and greater results for Your kingdom, that we are not just living for this earth, but we are living for the next. We thank You, Father, for all that You do. We give You praise and we thank You and we ask this in Jesus' name. One of the things that we always do on Thursday, if anyone has any particular prayer needs, we definitely want to pray for you. We have a kind of a funny belief around here. We believe God answers prayer. And we don't pray idly. We speak and we believe. So if there's anyone that you know that would like for us to specifically pray for you, feel free to come up. I'm not. We have any more music, Brandon? Anything else? I'm sorry. All right. I know you guys are a little concerned about the power of love, but it sounded good. And it always, things always come off well on Sunday. So we're thankful for that. But other than that, we're here to pray for you if you need prayer. Otherwise, it's good to have, I didn't know Bruce had three friends, but it's good to have you all. Yeah. Sue, Bill, and Ed. So, anyway, great having you. And if you don't have a church home, come see us. If you do, don't leave it.